Volume.
Previously on Laduma High.
So, you kind of have a good idea where he is.
You see, it needs some time to actually find where exactly he is. But it's just that I'm not now doing the case. Mm. If I was still in Marysburg, I should have caught him long time ago.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, bro, I won't tell you lies. That case is a straightforward case. Mm. I believe that 90% of the school teachers are aware of this killing. They know exactly what was going to happen. They know everything. It's just that now it's a pity we do not have an evidence.
Welcome to Season 2 of Alibi. The story we are telling this time is called Laduma High. I'm Paul McNally. This is episode 4 of a 6-part podcast series. We are exploring the brutal assassination of acting principal Priscilla Mthunu and how there have been no arrests more than a year later. I was banished from Pietermaritzburg in the last episode because of concerns about my safety. I was told that there was a good chance I was being followed. Reverend Giddy from the KwaZulu-Natal Christian Council is now helping me with my security. I regroup in Johannesburg, which I've come to know as the safe place in my life, and think about what the story needs next. And I arrive at 3 gaps that need to be filled. One was when Priscilla was appointed. I want more detail over that period. Were there controversies of even making her the acting principal? The next gap is I've been told Priscilla had a meeting where she appealed for help weeks before she died. Who was at that meeting and what were the warning signs, if any, of that the killing was coming? And thirdly, there's a huge gap immediately after she was killed that can be filled by talking to the man who replaced her, a man called Principal Mahlaba. Why would anyone take that job? And will he talk to us? So, first, when she was appointed. Second, when she asked for help. And third, when she was gone. These are the leads I want to follow in this episode as I return to Pietermaritzburg. And I start looking into her appointment, the first gap, in perhaps the safest place in the city. Pietermaritzburg Mediclinic. I walk the sterile white passages of the hospital looking for a man who has agreed to talk to me. I'm looking for Dlamini, who is an ex-member of the school governing body, or SGB, at Laduma High School. They had oversight on appointments, including Priscilla's.
So what did you have an operation done?
No, it was just the coughing, but it was paining on the side.
Pain in your chest?
This is Dlamini. I've caught him with his bags packed, ready to go. He was checked in last Wednesday for chest pains, but thankfully is about to be discharged. However, before he goes, he says we can talk.
Did you do the mid-mile?
Sorry?
Did you do the mid-mile mile?
What is that?
On your T-shirt.
Oh, no, it's just the T-shirt. No.
The mid-mile mile, the event on his T-shirt, is an open water swimming race. He hasn't done that. But he was involved in getting Priscilla the top job of acting principal at Laduma, the one that got her killed.
Was it the SGB's decision to make her the acting principal?
Yes, yes.
You guys had the power?
Yes, yes,
that.
Yeah.
So, did you agree with that position? Did you want that to happen?
Yeah, we wanted it to happen. You know what? Because we were the people who were upfront in pushing Ms. Mthunu's position. So that's why we were the first people who should be shot after her.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were the people who were pushing that.
He was part of the team that got Priscilla the top job, and he was around for her death. And he says the teachers were scared. But so was the school governing body. Dlamini, for example, was threatened with text messages after Priscilla was killed.
They said, I must be known that I'm the one who is accountable of killing Mr. Mthunu, and my wife should know that I have scabbing, I am. And the other threatening was, so after they had done everything, they are coming to me.
Jeez.
Then I said, before they come to me, these people, they must know. Because I'm not scared of anyone here. Except maybe that person can come anyhow, I don't know, but I'm not scared.
You didn't phone the number?
No. I tried to phone it, but it was just switched off.
It was switched off?
Because I wanted to see or to know who is that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is when I said, okay, it's all right. The school is not my home. Yeah. I was just helping there.
Dlamini left the school governing body shortly after that. Dlamini says the police have evidence of these threats in their much-talked-about docket.
This thing wasn't for the community, for the enemies, maybe at home. No, it was the inside job.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely sure. People within the school.
Yeah.
Not outside. So, not even in the community. No.
Just in the school?
In the school. This thing was among the teachers.
Right.
Yeah.
The MEC for Education at the time for KwaZulu-Natal, Umthandeni Dunglungwana, came to Laduma and gave a statement.
Then he said to us, just let everything lie to the department now. We will build up your school, we will put everything, high fencing, look after the security. Then just leave everything to us, because what had happened here, that means that something's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. So you guys just look after the school and be patient.
They installed guards and fencing, but nothing that could have stopped another assassination, especially if it was an inside job. Here's what the MEC for Education had to say.
He said there will be other posts which will be advertised. So we must be careful not to take anyone inside.
Because the assumption is that it's one of the teachers inside the school.
There was something which is happening inside, in fact.
Then Dlamini starts talking about the original principal, the one who left, and so created a space for Priscilla to become the acting principal in the first place. We haven't touched or talked about him before.
Then the principal immediately resigned.
When she became...
Yes, immediately. He never took even 2 weeks.
Really?
Then he put the resignation letter from the school and to the department. He said he's leaving now.
So as soon as Priscilla got the job as deputy, that principal resigned immediately, saying he was unable to work with her. Since starting this story, this is the first time I've heard someone say anything negative about Priscilla.
Why did he resign like that?
We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know. Then we said, it's all right, it's up to you, but we are not pushing out anyone. We are not chasing anyone out in the school.
It's difficult to know if I believe Dlamini. Maybe the school governing body was trying to push certain teachers out. What's clear is mostly the school governing body, at least in the beginning, was Team Priscilla. The last point Dlamini brings up is how Priscilla was threatened. She received obscene and violent calls and texts leading up to her death.
Threatening her, only the messages can witness on that, on her phone numbers. There are people's numbers there, which is written in black and white, whose number is this. Even the police have got everything of that.
They've got all that.
Everything.
These threats were sure warning signs. And if they had been taken seriously, then Priscilla's murder perhaps could have been prevented. But there were even more warnings, and even something that could have been considered a cry for help. We get into this next. I leave the MediClinic and head into the city centre. Pietermaritzburg manages a slight clump of tall buildings and a luxurious Nando's, but most of the commerce in the centre has a strip mall feel. I drive towards City Hall. I've been told that Priscilla reached out weeks before she was killed for help from the community, particularly the ANC ward councillor, Jabo Ngubu. They had a meeting, the ward councillor and Priscilla, and I want to know what happened. Ngubo has an office in City Hall as Madam Speaker, which is where I go for our appointment.
Sorry, is there someone in there? Are they having a meeting?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks. Okay.
You can wait for it.
Where should I wait?
Yeah.
Just here. Okay.
I wait for 30 minutes while Ngubu is in another meeting. I start to think she's not going to show. But when she arrives, she leaves her entourage outside and gives me her full attention.
Hello. I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for your time. I know you're very busy.
This councillor, Ngubu, has more of a connection to education than most politicians. She used to be a school teacher.
How was that? What was that like?
No, it was fine.
And what made you move into politics?
Even when I was a teacher, I was involved in politics. So the ANC decided to deploy me to the municipality.
Oh,
so
I
did not choose to come. The ANC chose that ANC.
The ANC chose like this path for you, basically.
I don't know. No, they just thought maybe there is something I can contribute.
And apparently you went to Laduma High School?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So when was that?
No, yeah, it was in the 80s. I completed my matric in 1984.
So Ngubu attended Laduma as a student, just like Sia and his dad, Dumisani.
And what was it like then?
No, it was a very strict school, and we were very powerful in terms of the results that were produced there, and also in terms of sports. We used to beat everyone in soccer.
So Laduma was a good school then?
Yes, a very good one, a very good one.
And then how do you feel about it now then? What do you think of it when you look at it now?
I feel it's not as good as it used to be in terms of the results that they produce, in terms of the behavior, and obviously what happened. It was so unfortunate.
You're talking about the murder?
Yeah, the murder itself. Because I guess it speaks to issues happening inside the school.
Just to be clear, this is not the same ward councillor who is at Gleeblands. This ward councillor, Ngubu, controls the territory of Laduma High. I asked the ward councillor about this meeting that she attended.
As a ward councillor, I was invited to say there is a parents' meeting and there is some sort of, I don't know if I can say, a crisis or the school not functioning well. Can we all come and try to get things happening at the school? Motivate where we can motivate, advise where we can advise.
What was the crisis in your opinion? What did you see as the crisis?
There is a question of educators not working.
Teachers weren't cooperating with Priscilla in any way.
Do you remember her in that meeting? Do you remember how she came across at all?
That's the only meeting I saw her.
Yeah.
That's the only meeting I saw her. In her, I saw a good teacher. I saw a teacher that was trying to make things happen, trying to change things for the better at the school. And when she was speaking, I saw a person that was determined, that was dedicated to do her best to make the school successful.
Did you see people there that obviously were opposing all those good things that you just said?
Nobody at all.
Okay.
In that meeting, we were all in agreement to say things need to be corrected, the school needs support, who must do what contribution can we all do as councillors, as the SGB, as...
Were all the teachers there? Was everyone there?
No, it was not everyone.
At this meeting, no teachers had been invited. It was the school governing body and the ward councillor It was for people that Priscilla felt she could appeal to for help. Here's me talking to Dlamini from the school governing body, who we met earlier in this episode at the MediClinic. We're chatting directly about this meeting.
I spoke to the ward counselor.
Yeah.
And Priscilla called a meeting with the ward counselor and members of the SGB a couple of weeks before she died.
Mm-hmm. So
did you go to that meeting? Were you?
I was in that meeting. Then she told us everything about the situation among the teachers. There was no teachers which attended that meeting.
Dlamini was concerned that no teachers had been invited to the meeting. He appealed to Kamalo. You remember the teacher with the tuck shop and the taxis who we spoke about in a previous episode. Dlamini asked Kamalo, why aren't you coming to this meeting?
You are a side shop steward. You should be there. Then yeah. He said, they phoned me in the morning. As I said, they don't want me to come there to that meeting.
Really?
Then I said, what you decided? He said, no, I decided just to keep quiet.
So Kamalo didn't come. And the division between Priscilla and the rest of the teaching staff was made deeper. Here's me talking to War Councillor Ngubu again.
Okay, so it was just her and you?
SGB.
Who else?
Parents.
Parents, but no other teachers. Mm. So this woman who ended up being killed a few weeks later, knew there was a problem in the school to the extent that she invited parents to talk about this. But then it turned out that there was basically, the teachers weren't there, and it's likely that it was the teacher that had her killed.
It's maybe that the killing was soon after this initial meeting.
Do you think the meeting caused the killing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the meeting did not help.
Ngubu believes that this murder was a result of a job shortage.
This idea of assassinations, and I guess, it's pretty clear that's what this was like an ordered hit. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a well-publicized problem in KZN. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's something that's spilling over outside of ward councillors and taxi violence into all forms? Like it's something that's spilling into the education system as well?
I very much think so. Because even the education department itself cannot deny that. That when sometimes there is a vacancy in the position of whether the deputy, the principal, or the HOD, sometimes these kinds of things happen to those people who are seen to be possible candidates of such.
Okay, so there's quite a it's quite common.
Yes, it's something that is common.
She says that her ward is rural, but it also has other schools in the same area that are succeeding. And I think of how fragile the success of schools really is.
Is there a problem with education in general in Maritzburg? I mean, are we facing some sort of crisis, do you think, with education?
Not that all I know of.
Okay.
There is no crisis. There can be problems here and there, but crisis, no, I don't think there is.
In terms of just getting the police to focus on this case, you're saying there's nothing we can really do to make that at a ward level. There's nothing you can do to kind of facilitate that.
There's nothing, but I think we can do.
She says that she can encourage the community policing forum to play a part along with other security structures. And in turn, they can share the information with the police. However, this all seems very futile.
Because it's not something like it's an open war.
Right.
It's something which will just hit you when you least expect it. You cannot say there is much we can do.
I mean, I saw that you personally have bodyguards and you have a security detail.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume that it's something that you personally think about quite a lot. Is that right?
Yes, very much so.
If an assassination happens and anyone investigates it, then they can also be assassinated.
Yes.
Including a ward councillor.
Yes.
Including a journalist.
Yes.
So what is one meant to do about that?
I don't know. I think it's the issue of the police officials coming up with a plan.
This stalemate comes up often when dealing with this case. People are afraid for their own lives when trying to initiate any type of movement. But there was one man who wasn't afraid. In fact, a man that was so curiously brave was Principal Mahaba. As we heard in a previous episode, the school governing body, or SGB, stepped in and prevented anyone who worked at Laduma High from applying for Priscilla's post. And they did this because they were so convinced that Priscilla's hit had been ordered by a teacher at the school. They didn't want to encourage a world where people can kill their way to the top. So into this turbulent job market stepped Principal Mahaba. He applies for the job and gets it. A job where he had to be the boss of and manage members who may have ordered the death of his predecessor. He didn't last long at Laduma, but long enough, and he has finally agreed to talk. I'm entering Georgetown High School in Pietermaritzburg, where I have an appointment with Principal Mahaba. He's now the acting principal here.
I just have an appointment with the principal at 9 o'clock. Is he here?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Shortly after leaving Laduma, he landed the job here at Georgetown.
Hi, hi.
Hey, man, I forgot about you.
Don't forget about me.
There is an apple on his desk next to his authorizing stamp, and to the side of the room, there's a huge, thick safe with dozens of toilet rolls piled on top of it.
Well, you're a busy man, I'm sure.
He starts by giving me a tour of the accolades that the school has won. This covers the whole back wall of his office.
I mean, you've got so many trophies up
there.
What are some of those?
Last year, they took us one of our best trophies.
So Laduma won it in 2013?
Oh, yes. You see, now Laduma was here in 2013.
Okay. But, you've won it 3 years in a row now?
Yeah, so now we are here.
What is that for?
Best school, highest distinctions. So Laduma in 2013 was best school.
Okay.
So not sure what happened to this school.
This is a quick example of Laduma's relatively recent fall, summed up in a cheap-looking inter-school trophy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And there's so many here. What are some of these other ones?
So some of them are from the cultural activities. This one from the Peace Club. And the others, again, for the performances in the metric results. And this one was for me for the most distinctions in history.
Mahaba has taught history and knew Priscilla well when she was alive. He describes her with that word that so many have used, humble. He starts describing when and how he came to get the top job at Laduma.
For Laduma, I think it was second term last year. That should be after the Easter holidays.
Yeah, okay. So yes. Not long after the killing.
Yeah, because seemingly most people were... They tried many people to say, who can go to that school? They said, I know it, And then they approached me. I said, no problem. Because if the war is not against me, I don't have a problem. Because I will go there and I'll see the problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so many people had problems. How come you didn't?
Yeah, maybe that's where the way I grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like challenges. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, people said, no, Omem was killed brutally. He said, no. At the end of the day, there's a school there, there are people. So if I go there, and I will see if there's a problem.
But were you not worried? I think I imagine why a lot of people didn't want to go there is they were worried for their own life. They were worried that, you know, if they killed one principal or acting principal, then if you came in as the principal...
I was going to act there again.
Act there.
Yeah.
I imagine that they were also worried that they would get killed. Did you not think that?
I can go there. As I said, if there's a problem, I will tell you. I'm going there. I'll maintain my standard.
Let's go back to that with your wife. What did she tell you when you were when you told her that you were taking this job where the former principal had
And he said, you mean now I'm going to be a widow? And I said, no.
Mahlaba struggled at the start because his teachers wouldn't arrive for work. He says it was a trend set by the principal who was there before Priscilla was acting. And as we know from a previous episode, it is a problem that Priscilla also faced.
That's a small school. I think the staff were about 15 educators. Now imagine on Monday and five educators are not at school.
Why were they not there?
I had to phone them.
Mm.
They were all surprised. Who's this man phoning us now? So no worries. I'm here. Then, now that I'm here, where are you? They will tell their stories.
What? So they were just bunking?
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
Mahlaba says at the heart of the unrest was a culture of the teachers not working. He says when the mayor installed security at the school straight after Priscilla's death, certain teachers didn't like it because it meant the times that they came in and went out were more strongly scrutinized.
There are stories, and learners are not being taught. And it's a department, you allow something like that.
Mm.
And you go to the logbook, there are stories written about certain educators within the school, but those educators are not disciplined.
During this time, the teacher we have called Monica was being openly accused of being the killer. She would go to meetings with the school governing body and be openly told that she wasn't welcome because she was the one who ordered Priscilla's death. The word tensions gets used a lot by people I've interviewed for this story, but this was outright war. Here is Sia, the young man who is investigating the case with his father, giving his thoughts on Mahlaba's time at Laduma.
I watched everything. After men passed away, they brought a new teacher, your principal, straight principal. I was going to take the school up.
Mm.
We were all happy about him. He left. When he left, he made some statements saying, the teachers are making me leave.
Mahlaba lasted 4 months at Laduma. He said he couldn't work with the staff he'd inherited. They wouldn't complete their marking, and he couldn't motivate them to teach. And when he challenged certain teachers, the school governing body jumped to their defense and made disciplinary action impossible. Laduma, not for the first time, sounds like a perfectly closed system that doesn't take kindly to interference. Here's me talking to Mahlaba again.
The school governing body said that they put a lot of effort into making sure the person they appointed, i.e. you,
mm-hmm.
was from outside.
Oh, outside, yes.
So what did you think about that? When you arrived, there must have been a lot of animosity, a lot of anger towards you because they wanted that job. They wanted your job.
If they attack me, I will know.
Mahlaba did clash with the school governing body while he was there, particularly Tandy, who we met in the first episode.
The SGP.
Mm.
Even in the SGP, there was armed divisions within the SGP.
Wait, sorry, say that again. So you've got members of the school governing body. I spoke to Tandy on the school governing body.
Yes.
She seems very nice.
Yeah, when you talk to her, she seemed like that.
What is your impression of her?
No, she's not a good person, Tandy.
Really?
Mm, she's not a good person.
Why not?
You know, as members of the SGP, they must support the principal. But for them, they wanted me to report on them, to them. I said, no, it's, you must play your role.
So do you feel that some people in the school governing body were involved in the killing?
Yeah, I would say so.
You would?
Yeah, I would say so. No, it's, yeah. Some people knew.
This is a shocking accusation, but I have to admit, the more time I spend with Mahlaba, I realize that he conflates involvement with murder and people that stood up against him.
Why I'm mentioning them? In that school, there were educators who the SGP wanted to protect. And those educators were pulling down the school.
Mm.
Whenever you want to take disciplinary measures, they were against that thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
I asked Makhlaba about Sia, our young investigator, and if he knew him.
He lives quite near the school. Do you know him? Do you remember him? His father's a police officer.
Yes, yeah, I remember.
What was your... Apparently he was quite outspoken and quite traumatized by the shooting.
I try to be hard on the learners because I said, look, whatever happened, happened.
You were hard on him?
Yeah, I said, no, even in the class.
I'm disappointed, to be honest, that Makhlaba took the sit-down-and-shut-up approach to kids like Sia for when they talked about the assassination.
When I came there, I was told there were also social workers who were trying to work on these learners. I said, look, at the end of the day, there is life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us try not always discuss this issue.
Do you worry about the possibility of assassination here at this school?
In this school?
Yeah, I mean, do you worry? I mean, because I've spoken to other principals who are worried that they might be assassinated in their schools.
For us, no.
You don't think that's a danger?
No.
Why not? I mean, it seems like anyone is at risk in South Africa, but especially in KZN. If you're in a position of power like you are, then you're at risk
of being assassinated. So I don't think we can have that situation. But let me put on other perspective. Now that I'm acting, if then the post is advertised, that's where the problem starts again. Because there'll be people who will say, no, how come you can just take the school like that? We want them to contest. So right now I'm acting the principal of this school. So that means this post.
The principal post.
Yes. It's going to be advertised now.
Right. Okay.
Now, if I take a decision to contest, to apply, see now, some of the people will be threatened. I said, no. Umahlaba is having bigger chances because he's within the school.
And then what, will you be nervous when that happens?
I must be nervous.
And was that the problem with Priscilla? It had been advertised. She was acting.
Yeah.
And she'd applied for the principal job. Is that true?
Yeah. You see now. So those people are having interest in the post and they'll say the best way, let us assassinate you, Priscilla.
It is heartbreaking for me to think that Makhlaba, when it comes to applying for his own job, to make it official, to not be acting anymore, he will be nervous about what kind of a threat he could be under. I leave Georgetown High School. One of the admin staff kindly gives me a lift into town. And then I get a call from someone in the police. It turns out the family had a private investigator. They still have a private investigator. They employed someone with their own money to look into the case, and Priscilla's sister is willing to speak about it. Hiring a private investigator, if anything, shows a complete lack of faith in the police. This is what we are going to explore in the next episode. Listening to episode 4 of Alibi's second series called Laduma High. We are taking 6 episodes to look into the brutal assassination of a high school teacher that took place in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa. This podcast has been written, edited, and produced by me, Paul McNally. Thanks to Gavin Haynes, Kyla Hermanson, Jeff Cayley-Lowenstein, Tom McNally, and Stels Desoy for their editorial oversight. This episode was mixed by Gwinch Sarame. The music for the series was composed by John Bartman. This episode was produced by Volume and is available wherever you get your podcasts, particularly at www.volume.africa/alibi. Here you will also find our first series that tracked a possible wrongful conviction. Finally, we want to thank our publishing partner, Arena Holdings, publishers of the Sunday Times, timeslive.co.za, Business Day, Financial Mail, and the Sowetan, and their head of multimedia, Scott Peter Smith, for supporting the project and pulling all the pieces together on their platforms. time on Laduma High.
Prior to her killing, she had been receiving threats. There was even a writing on the school wall where the writing was, "Get out or else you will die." Turns out that a couple of days later, she then gets killed. That is how strong the message was.
Volume.